Bussy pulled loose and jumped out of the patch of moonlight they were standing in. His four companions looked shocked for a moment. Then they started laughing uproariously. He pouted at them indignantly.
"What are you all laughing at? I don't see anything funny."
Cracklin wiped tears of merriment from her eyes.
"Oh, don't you? Well, take a look at yourself, you magic green frog."
Swamp mud dried and crusted, and the dust on Butty's paws was shining bright green in the darkness. He gazed at his small, fat stomach in anguish.
"I'm green, shining bright green."
Cracklin patted his back sympathetically, and a cloud of green dust arose.
"It must be some mineral in the mud that does it. Phosphorus or sulphur, I suppose." "Lead on, Butty. We don't need a torch to show us the way, my small green glowing friend."
Butty waved a bright green paw at the recorder.
"One more word out of you, Miss Cracklin, and I'll give your share of the treasure to Sister Viola. So there."
Two old moles, Bunto and Drub, were sleeping in the gatehouse at Redwall Abbey when they were wakened by banging on the main gate. Bunto blinked from the deep armchair he was settled in.
Who could that be banging on his gate in the night?
Drub rose stiffly from the smaller of the two armchairs by the fire. He yawned, stretched, and said,
"Us'll never know till us in's open the gate. Come on, Bunto."
Stumbling out into the darkness, they unbarred the big gate and opened it a crack to see who required entrance to the abbey. The other four had hidden themselves. Butty stood there alone. The two moles took one look and scooted off toward the abbey building, roaring in their deep bass voices.
"There be a little green ghost at the gate, and he looking like poor young Buddy. Mercy on us!"
A half of a dandelion wine barrel cut lengthways formed the badger babe Rossano's cradle. Mother Buscall rocked it gently with a footpaw as she dozed on a pile of sacks in the dark, warm kitchens of Redwall. Only a faint reddish glow showed from the oven fires, where the scones were slowly baking for next morning's breakfast. From his cradle, the little Rossano sat up and pointed at the strange apparition that had appeared. He smiled at it and uttered the only word he knew.
"Nut!"
Mother Buscall half opened her eyes, inquiring sleepily.
"Nut? What nut, my dear?"
Then her eyes came fully open and she saw Butty standing there.
"Oh, 'tis young Buddy. Come back toward me. Oh, spare me, green spirit. Don't harm me or the little un."
The glowing phantom answered in a hollow, moaning voice.
"Bring scones from the ovens. Enough for five. Honey, too, and woodland trifle, if there be any about. Some strawberry fizz and October ale. I'll be outside. Remember now, enough for five."
The spectre faded slowly away to the small canteen outside the kitchens. Mother Buscall busied herself complaining to a cockle-shell charm she always wore around her neck.
"Indeed, a goodness, fat lot of good you were. Lucky charm, indeed. I was nearly eaten alive in me bed by an hungry ghost. 15 scones. That'll be 3 apiece. Now, where's that woodland trifle got to? Oh, dearie me, don't you fret me, little babby. I won't let him have you."
Rossano stood up in his tiny nightshirt, chuckling.
"Net!"
Accompanied by Tornock and a rocker, the old squirrel mother brought out a heaped tray. Shad had to take it and put it on the table, as she almost dropped it. In the lantern-lit area, Butty appeared normal. Tansy waved at her.
"Hello, Mother Buscall, a rocker and Tornock, my friends. How are your egg chicks? Well, I hope."
Tornock bowed courteously and alighted on the table.
"We are all healthy, thank you, Abbess. Welcome back to Redwall."
This ends Disc 8.